First, Sesame Street has a new character. Her name is Carly, and she lives with foster parents Clem and Dahlia, who she refers to as her for now parents. Dahlia described it this way for Elmo.
Well, Elmo, sometimes even mommies and daddies need some help taking care of their children. Carly's mommy's been having a hard time, so we are her foster parents, or her for now parents. We will keep her safe until her mommy can take care of her again.
Well, when will Carly's mommy be back?
Well, we don't know for sure when that will be, but what we do know is Carly belongs here for now. We want her here with us.
Carly's appearance on Sesame Street got us thinking about foster care here in Wisconsin, how children end up being placed with for-now parents, and how the system works to provide them with safe and healthy places to live.
Ellen Smith joins us now. She's a clinical associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work and has worked in child welfare for over 25 years, including working in child protective services as a social worker. Ellen, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
So we just heard that clip from Sesame Street explaining that Carly is living for her for-now parents. And I think Carly did a pretty good job of explaining to both kids and adults what fostering is all about. But what would you add to what she said to really help people understand what foster care is?
Well, I think she got it exactly right. Foster care is intended to be a temporary situation where kids can stay and be safe while their parents work on their own problems that prevent them from parenting.
And on average, how many children are living in foster care here in Wisconsin at any given time?
Well, that's an interesting question because the rates of foster care placements have actually been increasing in Wisconsin. And so back in 2012, we had about 6,000 kids here in the state who were placed in care. And in 2018, we were up to about 8,000.
And so what do you attribute that change to?
Most people attribute this change, and we do see this nationally, as a result of the challenges that have been facing families with the opioid crisis. In addition to that, there are other challenges that are related to poverty that also can impact a parent's stress and their ability to safely care for their kids.
And do we have a further breakdown by age of how that compares when we're talking about young kids versus older kids?
Sure. So the average age of kids in foster care is about 5 years old, and the reason that is the average is because the largest proportion of kids in the state of Wisconsin, this is from 2017, the 2017 Child Abuse and Neglect Report, the biggest age group was that 2 to 4 age range. And when you think about that, that makes a lot of sense because kids are mobile at that age. They still are completely dependent on adults for caregiving. And so that puts them at the highest risk for child abuse and neglect. We often think of infants as being in foster care. Only about 15% of the children in foster care are 0 to 1. And then it breaks down at about 15% in each of those subsequent age groups, with the lowest number of children in care being those almost adults, those 17 to 21-year-olds.
And I'm wondering how kids come to foster care in the first place. Are there situations where parents are saying, hey, I need help? Is it situations where children might be in a position where an agency has, you know, flag the situation as potentially dangerous or abusive, or does it kind of, you know, just depend on the situation?
It does depend on the situation. First of all, when parents do occasionally call Child Protective Services and ask for help, and in those situations, we would work really hard to keep kids in the home. In Wisconsin alone, we have about 80,000 calls to Child Protective Services every year. The majority of those are not screened in because they don't meet the requirements for child abuse and neglect. So the majority of children who are placed in out-of-home care, when you think about that large, those thousands of children, are there because they've experienced abuse or neglect, or because the situation in their home is unsafe. And when I talk about being unsafe, I mean that what's going on in that home is so significant that it's likely to result in severe harm to that child. So we're not talking about minor issues that people might think of as not great parenting. We're talking about situations where caregivers can't protect children because of severe harm.
So the goal is to, as much as possible, keep kids in the home. When that's not possible, put them in foster care. And then I would imagine, you know, the next highest goal is getting them back to the biological parents. Do you find that that's usually what ends up happening?
It is usually what's happening. The majority of kids do go home. The average length of stay is less than a year in care, and that means a lot of kids go home 24 hours, 48 hours afterwards. So whenever we have a situation where a social worker goes in and does an assessment of a family and says, like, this kid is unsafe, the first thing that they would do is to try to control the situation, put something in place so that that kiddo doesn't have to leave their home. So services in the home, or have somebody who's a danger to the child leave, maybe have another caregiver move in. If that's not possible, before looking at foster care, we would look at relatives. You know, it's a pretty typical situation for kids to go stay with their grandma and grandpa for a few days, or their aunt and uncle, or maybe even their next door neighbor. So foster care would be the third most likely thing to happen if we can't keep a kid safe in their home.
We're talking right now with Ellen Smith. She is a clinical associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work, and we're talking about what the foster care system looks like here in Wisconsin. And Ellen, it must be difficult for children who are suddenly living with a new family, even if it is a safer and more reliable place to be. I'm going to play another clip from Sesame Street. Here's Carly dealing with the uncertainty of being in foster care.
And then we get to sit right next to each other because my place is right here. What? Oh, no. My placemat, it's gone.
What?
Oh, I'm sure it's here somewhere, honey.
Yeah, don't worry, Carly.
No. I don't have a place.
Oh, sweetheart.
Carly, why is Carly so sad?
I don't really want to tell you about it.
So, Ellen, kind of a complex situation going on there. What stood out to you in that exchange?
Well, I think that Carly is really struggling with figuring out where her place is. She's, you know, moved into a new family, and all the rules are different, and the parents are different, and everything that's familiar to her is gone. And this is a very common experience for children who are placed in foster care.
And kids are pretty resilient, but I would imagine that this has to be a significant change for them when they do go into foster care. As you said, now they have different parents, the rules are a little bit different, they're in a different environment. What can you tell us about the biggest challenges that kids do face when they're, you know, in the situation that might be out of their control?
So you use the word resilient, and resiliency is certainly something that we want to look at for kids and families, right? But when I think about small children, I think sometimes what we really mean is kids are malleable. Mm. They adapt to their situations. It doesn't mean that they don't feel the trauma, that they don't feel the grief and loss, just like anybody else would. Some of the challenges that kids face when they're placed in foster care are all the changes to those routines. Kids end up moving schools, and school can oftentimes be the safest place for a kiddo who's having some struggles at home. They have new routines. They lose their friends. They lose their family. They lose their community. They lose their extended family often, and contact with all of those things that are familiar, including, you know, maybe it's just their favorite blanket or a special toy that they have always gotten comfort from. So there's really quite a bit of loss when kiddos go into foster care.
And let's bring foster parents into the conversation as well. I'm sure they have some challenges and some barriers of their own, but I want to know what can foster parents do to make that transition easier, to address some of the concerns that we just laid out?
So that's a great question, because being a foster parent is really takes, you know, an incredible amount of energy and compassion and commitment, and also a great sense of humor. So foster parents, some of the challenges that they face are just the logistical things, right? You know, where do I have clothes for this kid? How am I going to get this child registered for school? I have all these new service providers. How do I advocate to make sure that this kid gets the best chance that they can get? Some of the things that really help with that is working with the biological parents. We oftentimes forget about biological parents in this mix, that they're experiencing grief and loss too, and that foster parents who can work well with biological parents to make sure that they, you know, send that toy that means something to that child, or make sure that they coordinate visits so that the adults in the family, so the foster parents and the parents, are both on the same page, whether it's the same kind of food that the kids eat or the same routine or maybe reading a same storybook. So as long as foster parents can work well with biological parents, it really does help to make the impact on the kid less.
And it seems like maybe there's somewhat of an emotional burden as well. I mean, you're asking a lot of foster parents to take in kids, to love these kids, to really set them up for success, and then to kind of send them on their way. And I actually have some friends going through the foster system right now, and they're getting ready to essentially give back the kids that they've been fostering. And I know they're really struggling with that. And I'm wondering what advice we can give those parents to help deal with some of these complicated and difficult emotions when that situation arises.
I really often wonder about if we ask too much from those foster parents, because we do ask them to love these children forever and ever until as a social worker shows up and says it's time for these children to go home. And again, I would go back to, as long as you can build a relationship with the birth family, sometimes there can be great comfort for foster parents in getting to keep that relationship, or also to continue to be a part of that child's life and make sure that they're safe.
We are talking about the foster care system with Ellen Smith right now. She is a clinical associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work and has worked in child welfare for many years.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you or a loved one ever been placed in foster care? What was the experience like? What did you wish that people around you understood about your experiences? Or if you work in child protection, give us your thoughts. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll continue that conversation in just a moment. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Jade Carlisle Larson.
And I'm Chris Molina. We're continuing our conversation about foster care in Wisconsin with Ellen Smith. She is a clinical associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work and has worked in child welfare for many years.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a foster parent? We want to know what the experience has been like for you and what advice you would give to others who might consider taking that step. Or if you have any questions for our guest about the foster care system, give us a call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas.org.
And Ellen, we talked earlier in the interview about some of the numbers about the kids needing foster care going up. And I'm wondering, are there enough foster homes available here in Wisconsin to meet that demand?
We never have enough foster homes. If you think about the challenges that, you know, that face foster parents, it's a hard job. But in addition to that, that lots of children end up being adopted. And the most likely person to adopt them are their foster parents, which means we don't have them as foster parents anymore. So we are always looking for foster families to help take care of Wisconsin's kids.
We are going to go to the phones now. We've got Daniel, who is with us in Toma. Hi, Daniel.
How you doing?
Good.
I just got my daughter home after 4 years.
And how is
go ahead.
How was that experience for you, Daniel?
Very headache. It was hard because I put my daughter in the system because she broke the rules, wouldn't go to school. And she would have technically been back in a short time, but she just kept on breaking the rules, and it just got dragged on and dragged on. She did come home short time last year, and then she broke the rules again, and then they took her back into the system. And it was harder for me because I'm a single dad. And other women, I'm sorry to say, the system helps women more than I feel like a single dad, because as a single dad, you have more, I don't know how to say, it's harder to raise a little girl.
Daniel, thank you so much for your call. And I want to pick up on that point that he made, Daniel suggesting that, you know, the system may not favor dads and single dads in particular. Ellen, have you seen anything that backs that story up?
Yeah, first of all, congratulations, Daniel, and thank you for sticking with it. Parenting is not an easy job, particularly with teenagers. It is true that it is much harder for dads. And federally, I can tell you that states fail one of the measures when they come out and when the federal government comes out to look at our child welfare systems. One of the places that we just don't do a very good job is in engaging dads and helping dads to parent kids. Reaching out and working with dads as social workers, it is a real challenge. It's a challenge nationally, and it's certainly a challenge in the state of Wisconsin.
And it sounds like Daniel kind of voluntarily put his daughter kind of into the system. Is that something that we see a lot in the state of Wisconsin, people voluntarily putting children into the system?
I don't really know what the statistics are on that. I mean, I know that, you know, adolescents are more likely to pose some challenges to their parents in which they need extra supports. And so his story certainly isn't one that I haven't heard before.
Daniel, thank you again so much for the call. We've got Trevor with us now, who is in La Crosse. Hi, Trevor. Thanks for calling.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Good. What do you want to say, Trevor?
So I just got kind of a question, really. My sisters might be very well going into foster care soon. My former stepfather, who was taking care of them, is probably going to lose custody of them. He got into trouble and facing some charges or something, and I just want to make sure that I'm going to be able to stay in contact with my little sisters because they're minors and I'm an adult, and I want to know if I'm allowed to contact their new foster parents once they get into that care, or how am I going to be able to get a hold of them because they're not even old enough where they have cell phones.
Trevor, thank you so much for that question. And we talked a little bit before about communication between, you know, parents and kids in foster care. What about this situation? Do you have any thoughts, Ellen, about how much communication might be available in this situation?
So I would really recommend that you contact your county human service office if you want to know more about a situation that's going on with a relative of yours. What I will say is that we know that kids do better when they have more adults in their lives that care about them, and that those relationships don't necessarily have to just be who their caregivers or full-time caregivers are. So we have lots of situations in which there are siblings out there or step-parents or grandparents, aunts and uncles who can be part of a child's life. Maybe they can't be their full-time caretaker, but they could be the ones that go to their, you know, soccer games or show up at the school, you know, band concert. Or even if that's not possible, if distance is a problem, write letters and stay connected. We just know that kids do better when they have connections.
Trevor, thank you so much for that call. We are talking with Ellen Smith. She's a clinical associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work. We're talking about the foster system here in Wisconsin. And Ellen, I want to ask, you know, we've been talking about the demand, the importance of foster parents. Maybe there's someone listening out there right now who's thinking, hey, I'd like to give this fostering thing a shot. Who can become a foster parent and what is the process for doing that?
Great question. So you'd be surprised that lots and lots of people can become foster parents. We are looking for all different kinds of family makeups. You can be someone who has raised your children. You can be a single parent. You can be someone who's never had children before. You can be older or younger. You know, we really need all kinds of people to step up and take care of our kids.
And how important is someone like Carly on Sesame Street, who we talked about, a new character, someone who is going through the foster care system? How important is it to have that representation, especially on television, for both kids and both biological and foster parents?
So one of the things I really appreciate about Sesame Street is that they do introduce characters that help us build empathy and kindness and understanding for people whose families don't look like ours. Being a foster child can be very isolating, and so it can be really helpful to have a character on TV so that maybe a foster child doesn't feel so isolated, or maybe another kiddo who's in their class will understand a little bit more about what it's like to be a foster kid and reach out and make friends with them.
I think we have time for one more call, so we'll go to Ben in Two Rivers. Hi, Ben. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to comment my wife's grandparents were foster parents back in the 40s, and they had a lot of kids come and go through their house, and it took an emotional toll on my grandmother-in-law. They ended up adopting the last kid that they fostered, and then after that, my grandfather-in-law said, okay, we're only taking troubled youth in their teens, and they kind of had like a Boys Town program at their house where you had to be before a judge, and the Miller house was your last stop before juvie, your last chance to turn around.
Ben, thank you so much for that call. And, you know, one thing that Ben said there, he was talking about how he had you know, a family doing foster care all the way dating back to the 40s. And I would imagine the big difference between then and now is the amount of resources that are available. You know, Sesame Street didn't exist in the 40s. The internet didn't exist in the 40s. Talk about the amount of resources that are available now to foster parents and where people can turn for support if they have questions during the entire process.
Sure. They can go to the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families if they want more information about how to become a foster parent. And yes, we're always working on new resources. The other thing I just want to say in response to the caller is that older kids need foster homes, too. We have lots and lots of great teenagers that are also looking for a place to belong. And foster care isn't just for those kids who are five and under.
And I would imagine in your work, you've heard a lot of success stories throughout the years. Is there any particular story that sticks with you, you know, years later of a story that just went particularly well?
Sure. I have lots of those and just love the work. So, you know, occasionally you have those magical foster homes that are able to forge such a relationship with the biological parents that the kids can go home and go back and forth between the two households. So even when the parent might struggle with something again, because these things happen over time, that they have a soft spot to land and a true partnership in not just taking care of the child, but also taking care of a parent, too.
And one other thing that, you know, I just happened to see on the internet today is singer Susan Boyle, who is famously on American Idol, just recently said, you know, she's interested in fostering. You know, she says she has this big empty house. She's interested in possibly filling it. Is it important to have people like that speaking out, people who, you know, may have a big fan base or something? And is it important to have people like that saying, yes, I want to be a foster parent?
Absolutely. It's a hard job. Working with kids who've been traumatized is hard, hard work. And it can feel very overwhelming at times. And so anything that we can do as a community to support foster parents, to support biological parents, and also to support our workforce of social workers who are trying to do this difficult work, we absolutely will take it all in.
Well, Ellen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Ellen Smith is a clinical associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work, and she was with us to talk about the foster care system here in Wisconsin.